freedom of the press. And we have freedom of the press here in America. In this country, you can write anything you want. The only trouble is getting someone to read it.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again tonight, transcribed, another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. Along about this time of year, most of the folks in Elyria start to get a little lazy, start easing up and putting things off till cooler weather. Business slows down, and it's pretty quiet most of the time on the square around the town hall. Afternoons especially. Hardly anybody's stirring most days. A lot of days, when the week's issue of the paper is caught up, Will sneaks out of the office and heads for Jetter's Lake or Branch Creek with a pole and a can of worms. More than likely, he'll run smack into Doc, or Jake Hawkins, who has the drugstore, or Judge Beale of the district court. In fact, most any of his friends. And the other days, days when something comes up and Will just can't get away, well, at least he still wishes he could.
Somebody, Will?
Oh, hi, Jim. Judge Beale around?
Down the hall in the hearing room, Will. It's that Taylor boy. Reckon the judge is fixing to lay the might of the law on him.
Thought the hearing was tomorrow.
Moved it up. Boy's dad was going to get a habeas corpus.
Well, guess all I can do is barge right in on him.
Judge ain't going to like that, Will. It's a closed hearing. Taylor boy's a juvenile.
I know. That's what I want to talk to the judge about.
Constable, I told
It's not the constable, Judge.
Oh, Will. And I'll be through here in about an hour, Will.
I know, but that's why I want to see you. This won't wait.
Well, all right. The hearing is adjourned for 10 minutes. Mr. Taylor, both you and your son will stay here in the room.
All right,
yes,
Judge.
Hiya, bud.
Not too good, Mr. Rogers.
Well, come on, Will. We'll go down to my office. Well, I can't do anything about it. I wish I could handle it some other way, but under the circumstances, I simply can't.
Well, now, Judge, maybe Bud has kicked up a little fuss now and then.
A little fuss? Will, that boy's been haled into court 7 times in the last year. Everything from disturbing the peace to malicious mischief.
But he's only 16. Give him time.
Time to what? Destroy the whole town?
Oh, now, Judge, mischief-making, disturbing the peace... At least they're not criminal acts.
And I haven't treated him like a criminal, Will. I've tried for a year to straighten that boy out. But with his home environment, well, nothing else to do. After all, state reform school's not a prison.
Maybe not. But it's no place for Bud Taylor either. What's his father say about this?
Nothing much. You know how he is.
Yeah, I know how he is. I figure if you don't think much of somebody, then it's better if you don't say much about him.
He's the basis of the whole trouble, Will.
Yeah.
10 years since his wife, Bud's mother, ran off with another man. He still hates the whole world. Even blames Bud for being half hers, I guess.
Well, there you are. What chance has the boy had?
None. That's exactly why I'm taking him out of that environment. Will, how come you're taking such a confounded interest in this?
Well, I promised Jill I'd see what I could do.
Jill? Well, if you're being advised by your 8-year-old daughter, maybe I'd better consult my grandson about the case.
Now, listen. If Jill says Bud Taylor's all right, then he's all right, and you can count on it. Kids and dogs know how to size a man up. Women can't. They'll overrate or underrate him every time. But kids never miss.
They don't, huh?
No, and Jill calls Bud her friend. He's always taken an interest in her and made toy airplanes for her, things like that. And last night, before she left for summer camp, she made me promise I'd do what I could to get her friend out of trouble.
So anything Jill wants, short of cutting your right arm...
Short of nothing, Judge.
Good. Then it's all settled, Will.
Settled how?
I don't want to see that boy go to reform school any more than you do. But I can't leave him with his father. That's what made him the way he is. So, I'm paroling him in your custody.
Your what?
I'll have the papers drawn up in about an hour. It's a fine solution, Will. I'm mighty glad you thought of it.
Why ask me, Will?
Now, Maggie, don't you go crawling out on me. We're kind of partners, aren't we?
Well, sure, Will. I guess we are.
All right. Then tell me what you think.
Isn't it a little late for that? You've already done it, Will.
Well, it's just temporary, though. And if it don't work out, well, Judge Beale will terminate it at any time.
Well, you have taken on quite a responsibility.
Well, I couldn't do anything else. That boy don't belong in reform school.
A lot of people won't agree with you, Will.
Maggie, do you think I'm making a fool out of myself?
Will, if what you're doing is making a fool out of yourself, then me for fooled.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Oh, hiya, Bud.
Hi, Mr. Rogers. Judge Beale said I should come over here and report to you. He said he'd send my stuff later. He said I should do what you say from now on.
Well, now, Bud, maybe that won't be too hard.
Will, I'll be back in the press room. I want to check the front page galley with Ed.
All right, Maggie. Sit down, Bud.
Thanks, Mr. Rogers.
I guess you know it already, but Jill and I have always figured you as one of our best friends, Bud.
Yes, sir, I know it.
So when you got yourself in a little trouble, why, we figured a friend's job was to help you out. That's why I'm doing this, for no other reason.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've got nothing against your father, Bud. Nothing against anybody, but, well, you know what the choice was.
Yes, sir. I was going to be sent to reform school. Maybe you're making a mistake. Maybe I'm just no good, like my father's always saying.
Your father's wrong, Bud.
It's not his fault, though. No matter what I've done, even if the judge acted like it was. My dad never taught me to act like that.
But he predicted you would a lot of times.
Well, He's just kind of mixed up, that's all.
Maybe that's it, Bud. And as a result, maybe you got to be a little mixed up yourself. Well, that's what we're going to try and straighten out. Well, why don't you go over to the house now? Mrs. Weatherwax is going to get your room fixed up, and maybe you can give her a hand.
All right, sir. Mr. Rogers, I'll try not to do anything so you'll be sorry you took up for me.
No, I'm not worried about that.
I'll help. I'll do any work you tell me to. I got that old jalopy. Maybe I could deliver papers.
Nah, we already got a couple of kids to do that. I was thinking of something else, Bud. Making you a part-time reporter.
A reporter?
Sure. Maggie and I got more work than any three people could do. When school starts, maybe you could write a regular column for the high school kids. A byline, your name on it, and everything.
I could? You mean I really could?
Sure.
Rogers?
Morning, Mr. Taylor.
Well, you've had the boy a week now. I guess you got him pretty well turned against me.
Oh, I don't think so. He's been over to see you every day, hasn't he? But I hear that you won't have anything to do with him.
He's made his bed, let him lie in it.
Maybe somebody made it for him.
Pretty sanctimonious, aren't you? You and that judge, claiming I'm to blame for the way the kid acts.
Nobody claimed that.
Just get him away from his father, and he'll be all right, they said. Well, you'll find out.
Would you have rather seen him in reform school, Mr. Taylor?
The boy's bad. Born bad, just like his mother.
Mr. Taylor, maybe you'd be a lot better off if you'd forget about his mother. What happened 10 years ago is over and done with. As far as I ever heard, kids are just born kids. I never heard of one of them being born bad.
You'll see, Rogers. You made a fool out of yourself taking him in like you have.
Well, maybe that's the fifth freedom, Mr. Taylor, along with those other four they talk about. A man's freedom to make a dang fool out of himself in his own sweet way. Goodbye, Mr. Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Rogers.
Well, you're at it early this morning, Bud.
Yeah. Well, I've been working on something I thought maybe you could use in the paper.
I guess it's not too good, though.
Well, let's have a look. Say, Bud, did you draw this yourself?
Yes, sir. I used the lettering pens and India ink.
Dog days. And it's looked like you've got every dog in town in the picture. There's that Airedale of Peterson and Mrs. Deeker's lop-eared spaniel.
Sure, they're all real dogs, ones I've seen around town.
And everybody will recognize his own. We'll have the dog owners with us 100%.
Hey, you beat me this morning, Will.
Just got here, Maggie.
Morning, Bud.
Morning, Miss Bud.
Look, seems like we got a staff artist as well as a reporter.
Huh?
Look here.
Why, there's Skippy, right in the center.
See, Bud? Dog owner.
Well, this is the cleverest thing I've ever seen.
Uh-huh. That's why we're going to put it on the editorial page of this week's issue.
Gosh, Mr. Rogers, is it really good enough?
It's good enough. Now, look, though, you're still a reporter. So suppose you hop over to the grain elevator and pick up that list of farmers who made sales yesterday. I'm holding a spot for it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rogers. Right away.
And unless you got something planned, how'd you like to go out to Jetter's Lake this afternoon? I hear the bass are striking.
I don't have anything planned, Mr. Rogers. Hey, I'll be right back.
Will, I have to hand it to you. I never thought it would work out this well.
I haven't done anything, Maggie. He's a good kid, that's all.
Well, then hats off to Jill's knowledge of human nature.
He was her friend. That's all she needed to know. See, I got a letter from her, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, she's crazy about the camp. Going to be there another week yet.
I'll bet she misses you.
Well, if she does, she didn't remember it till the third P.S. Well, I guess I better get to the post office and pick up the mail. I'm going to get some stamps. Maggie, did you use all the petty cash?
No, there were two $5 bills there yesterday. Let me see. That's funny. I know they were there, and there hasn't been anyone in here, but... You'd better have a talk with him, Will.
Yeah, I guess I had.
Maybe he had a good reason. Maybe... I don't know. I'm sorry, Will. I'm terribly sorry.
Hey, that was a good cast, Mr. Rogers.
Let's see if the fish thinks so.
If I get one more like that last one, I don't care what the fish thinks.
Yeah, must have weighed 4 pounds or better.
Easy. Say, Mr. Rogers, what was it you wanted to talk to me about? You said later, remember?
Felt like something was nosing that plug there.
Well, keep moving it in little runs, like it was alive. Still there?
No. No, I guess not.
Well, it may come back. What was it, Mr. Rogers?
Huh?
You know, what you were going to talk about.
Well, I was kind of wondering how you were fixed for spending money, Bud.
Oh, I got some change. I don't need much.
Well, a fellow your age needs some, though. And when he hasn't got it, well, sometimes
Oh, don't worry about it. I can always pick up a few bucks in my spare time if I need it.
Yeah, but, the thing is, I sort of figure we ought to pay you a salary of some kind. All the work you're doing on the paper.
Oh, but you're taking care of me. I don't want a salary.
Well, it wouldn't be much. Not what you're worth. The paper can't afford it. But, let's put it this way, Bud. When you do want money for something, get what you need out of the petty cash box. It's in the cigar box in Maggie's desk.
Well, if I do, okay. But I can always mow a couple of lawns, shovel grain over at the elevator for an hour or two, or... Hey, isn't that Constable Evers?
Huh? Yeah. Wonder what he's doing out here. Hiya, Jim. Where's your pole?
No time for that today, Will. I got a warrant instead. Guess I'm going to have to take your fishing partner away from you.
Bud? What for?
Somebody broke into Hawkins' drugstore last night. Took a couple of cameras and some money from the till. Bud's car was seen parked down the block around midnight.
I was in bed before 10 o'clock. You know I was, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know he stayed there, though, Will?
No, but is this all you're basing the charge on, Jim?
Afraid not, Will. I figured Bud wouldn't be fool enough to bring the stuff home to your place, so I took a look through his house. Found it in the basement. Cameras and part of the money.
Well, I guess there's not much to say. I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers.
So am I, Bud. So am I.
listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to tonight's story in just a moment. But first, when you make your summer's trips, take radio, too, in the car. Radio keeps you entertained as you drive. At the beach or picnic grounds in the country, no terrain is too rugged for radio. A table model, a portable, a pocket-sized radio bring you CBS Radio's news and entertainment whenever you wish, wherever you wish. Remember, include radio and CBS Radio in your summer plans for the programs America listens to most. And now we continue with the second act of tonight's show.
There's no point in blaming yourself.
I know, Maggie, but when the kid was planning a thing like that, I should have sensed it at least.
Well, I sure didn't sense anything. I'd have sworn he was honest.
Yeah, I gave him a chance to tell me about it out at the lake, but he just didn't bat an eye. He's either the cleverest kid in town or somebody's making a big mistake.
Why did he say he did it, Will?
He didn't say. He just wouldn't talk about it. Apologized for causing me trouble, and then he let Jim take him off to jail, and this time he will go to the reform school.
You know, Will, that father of his is the cause of the whole thing, the way he's always acted towards Bud. One good week wasn't enough to change the effects of 10 bad years.
No, I guess not. Yet he still sticks up for his father, loves him, in spite of the treatment he's always had.
Well, maybe that's his trouble, Will. Wanting affection from someone he loves and never getting it. Trying to attract attention to himself and just getting into trouble, trying.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. Now, this idea of making him a reporter, I thought it was going to have some effect, but... Oh, well, let's forget it, Maggie. It's late. You might as well go on home.
Well, at least the dummy's all set for tomorrow. Unless you want to pull out Bud's articles and the drawing you made of the dogs.
No, it stays in.
Oh, good, Will.
The stuff's fine. I never figured there was much sense in this censor business anyway.
Well, see you in the morning then, Will. Unless you're leaving now, too.
Guess not, Maggie. Judge Beale said he might drop by from the office and play a game of chess. I'll wait a while.
All right, Will. Good night.
Good night, Maggie. Doggone that fool kid anyhow. And there's Jill, too. What am I going to tell Jill? Judge, I just got to do it. Check.
That confounded night. I know you're going to do that sooner or later.
It's a big push, Judge. I'm moving in on your king.
When some people play chess, Will, they give a man a halfway even break.
We started even.
Well, don't see much to do except...
resign?
Yes, confounded, I resign. Much as I hate to give you two games straight in one night. It was that hidden rook of yours you managed to plant back there. It was messing up all my plans, forcing me into moves that didn't even make sense.
So that was the reason they didn't, huh?
All right, Will, you just wait till the next time. It's 9 o'clock. I'll have to be getting along. Will, I'm sorry the way it turned out with a tailor boy.
Yeah, I guess we're all sorry. What is it, reform school?
I don't have much choice, Will. He won't deny the charge. Matter of fact, he just won't talk about it one way or another.
I know. Same thing this afternoon when Jim came out to the lake to get him. Just said he was sorry he'd caused me any trouble and then he wouldn't talk about it anymore. I don't understand it. The way he acted don't even make sense.
Well, with all the evidence, there seems to be no doubt.
Wait a second. Don't make sense like those last few moves of yours. And why did you make them? Because that hidden rook was forcing you to.
Huh?
Judge, how late are you going to be up tonight?
Well, another hour or so, I guess. Why?
I might want to talk to you. I kind of got an idea Bud Taylor is being forced by a hidden rook. Evening, Mr. Taylor. Mind if I come in?
Pretty late, Rogers.
This won't take long.
What is it?
Well, Mr. Taylor, we missed some money from the petty cash drawer this morning, and it kind of looked like Bud might have been responsible.
Well?
But tonight I got to thinking. Mr. Taylor, you came by the office yesterday afternoon, and I left you alone when I went back to the press room to find Bud.
What are you getting at, Roger?
And anybody could have been using Bud's car. It was sitting at the curb in front of my house last night. You could have come by and got it.
Rogers, are you trying to say that I robbed that drugstore?
Not for the money itself, but to throw the blame on Bud. Why? Because Judge Beale didn't send him to the reform school and instead turned him over to me. And you figured it was kind of an insult to you, and it was a backhand way of saying it was your fault, not Bud's.
Get out, Rogers.
And it's true. You've done your best to ruin that boy. It looks like you finally succeeded. And all because of something his mother did when Bud was 6 years old. He's your son, too, Mr. Taylor.
Then you stay out of it.
He knows he's your son, even if you don't. Why do you suppose he's keeping still and taking the blame for all this? He knows who did it, as well as I do.
He what?
When Jim came out to the lake to arrest him, Bud was bowled over. It wasn't an act. He just downright didn't know what it was all about. Then he got some of the facts and started putting two and two together and suddenly shut up, wouldn't say anymore. He didn't exactly admit anything, but he wouldn't deny it either.
But he's never told me. I didn't know that.
Takes a lot of love for a kid to go to jail rather than let his father down.
What in the name of heaven have I done to the boy?
I'm not sure, but I think you better start undoing it tonight.
Well, gentlemen, I just don't know what to say. This is the darndest story I've ever heard.
It's even darnder, because it's true.
Yeah, I know, Will. That's what you said. Mr. Taylor, are you sure you're not admitting this just in order to protect your boy?
Well, I wish I could say that, Mr. Hawkins, but it's the other way around. Bud's been trying to protect me.
And it was you who broke into my drugstore last night.
That's right.
But in the name of Tophet, why?
He was trying to prove that Bud was no good and couldn't be trusted.
His own son?
That's right, Mr. Hawkins. My own son.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, I guess it's up to you. I don't expect anything. I'm not asking anything. I'm just trying to undo some things, that's all.
Do you vouch for this, Will? Is this really the straight story?
It's straight, all right.
Well, if you say so, it must be. It's quite a mess.
Well, I guess it could be, but it doesn't have to be.
What do you mean, Will?
Mr. Taylor will make good on the money, of course, and the damage to the door of your store, and after that, well, I guess it's up to you.
Yeah, I know. If I prosecute, he'll go to prison, and if I don't... Then what? What if I don't?
You'll be doing a pretty generous favor for a kid who's never had much of a chance, Jake.
I've always liked the boy.
Well, what do you say?
Confound it, Will. You got a way about you that'll get blood from a turnip. Let me phone Judge Beale.
I just don't understand it, Will. Judge calling in the middle of the night and saying he was dismissing the case. The charge was being withdrawn.
Well, I guess Judge Beale will probably explain it in the morning, Jim.
Yeah, the boy's in the fourth cell on down there. Let me get this door open.
I don't know what I'm going to say to him, Will. I just don't know.
Well, asking forgiveness might not be such a bad idea.
Maybe he won't even talk to me.
All right. Are you coming?
Like for me to go in and tell him you're here?
Oh, if you would, I sure appreciate it.
Sure.
Mr. Rogers, what are you doing here at this time of night?
Calling on a friend. You're getting out, Bud. Case has been dropped.
But I don't...
Maybe your father can explain it. He's waiting back down the corridor there. You want to see him?
Oh, sure.
Mr. Taylor.
You're coming, Will. Hello, son.
Dad. Hello? How are you, Dad?
Guess there's nothing Jim and I can do hanging around here. Come on, Jim.
Oh, thanks, Will. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll just leave the corridor door open. You know, that's the first time I ever heard Taylor speak to that boy without snarling at him.
Well, I'll give you odds it won't be the last time.
In
Nice night, Will.
Yeah? Going home, Jim?
Well, I better wait till they leave and lock up. Say, Will, how's that daughter of yours?
Oh, Jill's fine. She's off at summer camp right now.
She is?
Yeah, matter of fact, I got to write her a letter before I go to bed.
Don't know what you write about. You sure nothing much ever happens in Elyria?
No, not much, I guess. But Jill won't mind. She just wants to know how her friends are getting along. So I'll write her that they're all fine. Just fine.
You have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Tonight's story was written by Les Crutchfield and produced and transcribed by Norman McDonald. Featured in the cast were Peter Rankin as Bud, Joseph Kearns as Judge Beal, and John Daner as Mr. Taylor, with Jack Crucian as Jim and Harry Bartell as the druggist, Hawkins. The special music was composed by Rene Garagank and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. No advance word about what to expect when you meet Millie tomorrow night, but this much is certain. There'll be fun for all listeners when Millie Bronson, played by Elena Verdugo, and her more or less mad mama, embark on another excursion into life's problems. Millie's slow-motion romance, Alfred Prince Metal's poetry, Mama's figure, Mr. Boone's temper, almost anything can start the fun go-round when you meet Millie tomorrow night on most of these same stations, presented by CBS Radio. This is Bob Lamond speaking. And remember, the Johnny Mercer Show is heard weekday evenings on the CBS Radio Network.